Tonight we're going to be talking about something quite controversial at the moment. It's dacha or cannabis or weed, whatever you want to call it. And we're looking at dealing with it in the workplace. I know there was some talk about it now. It's apparently gone to court, and you're hoping in the next 2 years or so that you'd be allowed to smoke it legally at home. That hasn't been granted yet, but it is something that's on the table. And just to talk us through a little bit more about what this could actually have, the implications of this when we go to work, I'm joined this evening by Jose George, and he's a director in Cliff Dekker-Hoffmeyer's employment practice. Jose, good evening. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Karen. Thanks for having me on the show.
Now, this is something we've been hearing about, and some people are getting quite excited about this. It's went through the Western Cape High Court. It's still got to go. Is it the Constitutional Court for...
It needs to be sent to the Constitutional Court for certification.
Okay.
In the interim, the government has also appealed the judgment. So it will be challenged in the Constitutional Court, so, and hopefully there'll be a date by the end of the year.
So it's not a given that it was because it was went through the Western Cape High Court that, oh, right, fine, let's go do this now.
No. It's actually of no force until it's actually been certified by the Constitutional Court.
Because there was some talk in the papers as well about people thinking they could go and do it now and asking, could I get arrested at this point? Yes, you can.
Yes, you can.
Right. Now, the problem, though, is, Jose, when it comes to this, it all sounds very fun and fine if this is what you want to do in the comfort of your own home. But then you are... The effects don't wear off literally overnight. I mean, it can last a while. And what if you want to sort of have sort of a little smoke before you go to work in the morning? This could actually affect productivity. This is the problem.
The problem with cannabis, our yardstick at the moment is alcohol, and we've got fairly reliable tests for, you know, looking at the effect of alcohol on somebody's ability to perform their duties. With cannabis, however, it stays within your bloodstream for a lot longer. And it may be detected up to, 10 days up to 6 months after use. And obviously you're detecting it at that period, and it's not actually causing any impairment to you being able to do your job. So I think for employers, that's going to be the difficulty. How do you prove impairment if you do a test and you find traces of cannabis? It doesn't necessarily mean that they can't do their jobs or that they're even under the influence at that time.
Would this be something, the testing for something like this, would this have to be written into an employment contract or sort of written in after the fact? How would we go about doing that?
Not necessarily. Look, it's always better if you do have things in writing, and if there is certainty in a policy, then the employee understands what the limitations are, and they're guided, or their conduct is at least informed by the policy. So your best shot is have it in writing, either in the contract or policy. However, if it's not in writing, it doesn't mean that you can't test. That'll depend on the circumstances, obviously. And you look at the industry and what the effects of somebody being impaired at work would be.
Because, I mean, you know, people, I think, are aware that if you've come to work and you've drunk, then you're not going to be terribly popular, and you possibly could get disciplinary hearing will be set up, and it's not going to be something that will be passed off. But you come to work and you've sort of been smoking before you got there in the comfort of your own home, what people are hoping they'll be allowed to do. And then you go to work. There just seems to be a slight difference there for some reason. People are going to say, well, it's not the same thing.
Well, it depends. I think your starting point has to be, does it impair your ability to do your job properly? If it does, then it's the same thing. If it doesn't, obviously you'd have to treat that differently. You'd have to look at what the effects are on the workplace and on your co-employees, etc. as well.
Now, if this you come to work and it is actually having an impact on your work, could this actually then lead to a disciplinary hearing, as it would, I would imagine, the same as if you came to work and you were drunk?
It could, yeah. It could lead to a dismissal as well.
Okay, so people mustn't think because if it happens, which it's debatable if it's going to happen, but if it does happen, people mustn't think, well, I did it at home and it was legal because they said so in court. That doesn't then stop you from having to, you know, being able to come to work and do your job. It's a whole separate thing.
Alcohol is legal. Yes. You could still be fired if you come to work drunk.
And now there's also this other side of the debate, though, for people that take cannabis and cannabis oils and those sorts of things for medicinal purposes. Would they be treated any differently to somebody using cannabis in a recreational setting?
I think they'd have to be treated differently. You would obviously, if you are using it for medicinal purposes, have to declare it to your employer. And your employer would have to treat you slightly differently. I think the employee and the employer probably have to sit down and look at how this affects the employee's job. And if possible, the employer should try and accommodate the employee.
And that's always a problem because I talk a lot on one of my health programs that I do about people that have mental illness, and they are always terribly afraid to disclose anything because they think, well, either they're going to find a reason to get rid of me, or, you know, as you say, they will be treated differently, but to their detriment, you know, possibly not being looked at for promotions and that sort of thing. Could this happen here as well? And then you would possibly have a case.
You definitely have a case. I mean, the employee would be protected by the Employment Equity Act, which prohibits any kind of discrimination on that basis.
And you, the thing that worried me, though, you said that if somebody smokes this on one particular day, this could be detected up to 6 months later.
Yeah, and that's where the complication really arises. So with alcohol, it leaves your bloodstream quite quickly, and you can do a test and find out what exactly the concentration is in the bloodstream at that moment. And we're pretty far advanced with alcohol. You can tell pretty much what the effects are from the concentration in the bloodstream. Whereas with cannabis, our tests aren't that advanced, and we don't know what the effects are on someone just because of the concentration in their blood.
I'm thinking if somebody sort of just, for example, said smoked it today, went to work, was absolutely fine, but then suddenly the employer thinks like 3 or 4 weeks later, oh, actually maybe we should be testing, picks it up then. The employee hasn't had anything since today until, you know, the test, but yet they still could then be found to be under the influence of cannabis, yet even though it's not having any effect, as you said, on them at that time.
Now, well, would they be under the influence then? I'm not sure that they would be.
Well, that's because what it was, they'd have consumed it a
few days before.
Well, I'm saying if they only do the test like 3 weeks later, but they still find traces on the test, what then? You know, they say, well, I didn't smoke, I haven't smoked for 3 weeks.
Yeah, I think you've touched on the pertinent issue, really. It's under the influence. Is the person under the influence at work? It may not be at the time of testing, and you may not be able to use that in a disciplinary inquiry. But certainly at work, if they were under the influence, you may be able to take disciplinary action against them, depending on the circumstances.
Now, the employers that have, or companies possibly that require their employees to drive, or to long-distance truck drivers, or, I don't know, anybody that's driving people around, passengers or whatever, would they legally be allowed to ban their employees from actually partaking of this at all?
If the High Court's decision is upheld and there is a change in Parliament and this is declared legal, or personal consumption is declared legal, I don't think you'd have a right to outright ban the use of it, because obviously you protect it constitutionally to have it in your, in the privacy of your own home then. But what an employer could do is adopt a zero tolerance policy within the workplace. So you couldn't take it at work, or certainly before work, if it was going to impair your ability to do your job whilst at work.
That's the problem, though. You know, they have those things in some cars. I don't know if they have them in that many cars here in South Africa, where you can actually blow into this thing and it won't actually let the car start if it picks up the fact that you've actually been drinking.
Yeah.
You possibly have something like that in a vehicle where you blow into this thing and, oh, okay, well, you're not, you know, if sober enough when it comes to the cannabis, maybe the car won't start.
Yeah, I'm not sure the technology.
No, there, I'm just saying that would be nice to have.
There again, I don't think you'd pick up the traces on your breath if you had it 2 or 3 days before.
No, I'm saying
I think
if
the tests for that are a bit more sophisticated.
No, I'm saying if you'd had it that morning and then you come to work.
If you had it that morning.
Yeah,
look, if you adopt a zero tolerance, certainly if you had it that morning, you'd probably still be under the influence by the time you got to work. If you do have a zero tolerance policy and you can show that somebody's under the influence, so it may not even be a test. It may just be circumstantial evidence like red eyes or lack of concentration, unsteady gait, delayed reaction. If the person's got a history of using cannabis, then you could probably rely on that circumstantial evidence in an inquiry.
Where do you think this is, where this is going to go? I mean, I have no problem with it being used in medicinal purposes. I'm a little bit unsure about it as a recreational thing.
Personally, I don't think we're going to see a change in the near future. I don't think Parliament has the will to change anything. And I'm quite interested to see how the Constitutional Court deal with the appeal. The Constitutional Court could uphold the High Court's position, but still has to go through Parliament. So the courts don't set the law. Parliament makes the law. And you could still find that within Parliament, they may tone down the provisions that have been declared invalid, but it still may not lead to you being freely able to use it in the privacy of your own home.
And this cannabis oil, because there's been a lot of talk about that, and I mean, I've been seeing advertising for it, and it seems to be available already, but that's been around for a while now. How legal is that?
I'm not sure, to be honest, but from what I understand, the cannabis oil won't have the same kind of effect or may not have the same active ingredient as the ingredient that impairs you if you smoke it. But I'm not an expert on that.
Okay, so people think of that, you know, finding cannabis oil in a shop, it's not the same thing as what we're talking about here. It's completely different.
As far as I understand, yeah.
Okay, but so we just need to wait for, you say possibly have some idea of what's going on by the end of this year. We should have a date, possibly?
We should have a date for hearing by the end of the year. I'm not sure when we'll have a judgment.
No, sure, but we will know what's sort of happening as far as the next step is concerned.
Yeah.
So this could actually become quite interesting as far as labor law goes, because it's a whole new field.
Yeah, well, look, the thing is, alcohol is relatively easy to detect. I think now employers are going to have to take a very, very hard look at what their requirements are, what the industry is, what the employee's duties are, what the effects of an employee being impaired will be on the business, on the safety of the business, on fellow employees, etc. And I think you're going to have to, they're certainly going to have a far more nuanced kind of policy dealing with cannabis than they do for alcohol at the moment.
And possibly have, you know, if you employ new employees and this does come to pass, put something in your employment contract that they would agree to testing if needed.
Definitely.
Because it's always easier to have it in there than try and retroactively put something in, because then it's a whole bargaining thing and, you know, people might not be happy about that. Whereas if it's part of what you're signing and it's explained to you, you know, initially at time of employment, it's a lot easier to deal with then.
Exactly, yeah. So look, it's a balance, you know, the employee's right to dignity privacy and fair labor practices versus the employer's right to conduct its business, to maintain discipline and its obligation to ensure safety in the workplace.
That's the most important thing, is the safety part. You know, anything that requires heavy machinery or where you or another employee could be at risk if something went wrong due to, like, as you mentioned, lack of concentration and slow reactions and all that sort of thing, then it would be imperative for the employer to, you know what is going on, to make sure that his staff are well.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't want the pilot flying my plane to be impaired. However, somebody who works in a safer kind of working environment, not to cast aspersions on librarians, but it's an example that comes to mind immediately, it may not be that serious an offence. Having said everything we have, the employers must be very careful as well. There's a distinction to be drawn between the abuse of cannabis or the use of cannabis where it may lead to some form of incapacity, like a dependency, against just a misconduct kind of environment. So the Code of Good Practice requires that if there is abuse and it is a form of incapacity, that the employer be a bit more sensitive to the way that they treat the employee and consider things like rehabilitation or counseling before they actually effect a dismissal.
As one would if somebody had an alcohol problem.
Exactly.
Exactly. So it would be exactly the same procedure as that.
Yeah.
Well, that actually makes a lot of sense. And, you know, I'm sure people, if they are aware of the fact that this is how you relate to somebody that has an alcohol problem, it would be in the same category. So it wouldn't be too different for them to understand that. So
no, yeah.
Well, we'll wait and see what happens at the end of the year. But thank you for enlightening us on a little bit more about what could potentially be going on once, if this is past, which you said is, we don't know, actually. We can't say one way or the other. We just don't know. So let's wait and see what happens. But thank you very much indeed for joining me on the show this evening.
My pleasure.
Jose George is a director in Cliff Dekker Hofmeyr's employment practice. We were talking there about dealing with weed or dacha or cannabis, whatever you want to call it, in the workplace. So we'll wait and see. Possibly we'll have a date by the end of the year as to when this will be going off to the Constitutional Court. And I'll keep you informed if any more information comes to light.